Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, the portion of Scripture that Mark read to us. It's found in Acts chapter 27. This pulpit is a very lovely pulpit, and we like it very much, but there's not much room up here. You can't get a chair behind, and if two of us are in the pulpit, it's almost impossible. We did some mistake somewhere. I don't know who designed it, who was the one who decided it, but I'll have to look in the mirror sometime. But nevertheless, we do want it outwards, don't we, Mark? We definitely need a little bit of space. No. Mark is a growing lad, and because of that, he needs a larger pulpit. Acts chapter 27 this evening. It's a well-known chapter, and it's certainly a remarkable chapter, and I pray the Lord will be pleased to bless us as we consider it together. I want to refer you to verse 29. It's Acts 27 and verse 29. Then fearing, lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I've spoken on this verse a number of times, but this is entirely a new message which the Lord has laid upon my heart this week, and may indeed it be a real message from heaven for each one of us. I think all of you know that the Acts of the Apostles is a very dramatic book indeed. It's one of the most dramatic books in the whole of the Bible. And the story that this chapter contains is the most dramatic chapter in the whole of the book. And so you'll see how dramatic this story must really be. Anybody who's been in a storm at sea will know that it's the most frightening experience. I remember as a young boy going over to Europe and coming back, there was a tremendous storm when I never thought I'd ever reach home again. The sailors weren't too scared, so it must have been not too bad, but nevertheless it was a very frightening experience. But let me try, if I can, to give you a little bit about the background of this particular chapter. Paul is a prisoner. He has been arrested on a trumped-up charge concerning his ministry and concerning what he had said. But instead of being judged and condemned by the Jewish courts, Paul, because he was a Roman citizen, had appealed to Caesar. Every Roman citizen had the opportunity to appeal to Caesar and be tried by the courts of Rome. And so he had exercised his rights to do that. For 2 years he'd been under house arrest in Caesarea, and now he had been shipped to Rome. They've visited Sidon, they've been to Myra, and now they come in a ship of Alexander. The significance of that was that Alexander was the place where very large ships came from, and this was a merchant ship. It was carrying wheat at the time. When suddenly this very large ship in the ocean comes across a storm, and you will have read about the wind that Mark read about tonight, called Euroclydon. It's the first instance we have of something about Europe, so it is thought that this wind originated from Europe or thereabouts. But after the heavy pounding upon the ship, the ship is in danger of breaking up and their lives are being lost. You'll remember that Paul had already said that it was foolish to advance out at that time of the year, but they still did it, and you may think that it was something of disobedience, but why take notice of a prisoner anyway? But what I want to try, if I can tonight, to say to you is that the ship that Paul is travelling in, it is really a picture of the world, and it's sailing upon the oceans of life. There are all sorts of people on board. There are friends and there are foes. There's kind people and there's cruel people. There's criminals and there are those who are law-abiding. No doubt there are rich and there are poor. There's important people and there are ordinary people. It is certainly just a picture in miniature of the world in which we live in ourselves. But what do people do in time of trouble? What do they try to do to try to avert the trouble? Well, you'll know that most people, alas, turn to the bottle or the pills or the drugs to try and find an answer to the troubles of life and the storms that come in their lives. But what does Paul do? That's the most important thing as far as we are concerned tonight. You know, it's interesting that in 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, Paul tells us something of the experiences that he has. And he tells us that he was shipwrecked on 3 occasions. We don't know all about every one, but this must have been the worst, mustn't it? It must have been a hazardous travel to travel by ship, and even to be shipwrecked on 3 occasions. I want to try, if I can tonight, to speak to you about 4 anchors of the soul. 4 anchors of the soul. And you have it from our verse, of course, that we've read together. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. I wonder tonight if we have anchors, like the anchors that you'll find in this particular chapter, so that when the troubles of life come, when the storms of life engulf us, we know that we're going to be safe. Why? Because we have 4 anchors. And those anchors are the anchors of the soul. You know, it's said that the Battle of Boothwell in Scotland, the Covenanters ran out of ammunition. And they were waiting for the ammunition that they had requested to come to them. When one day a barrel came, a barrel of bullets, they thought. They opened it quickly because they needed the bullets urgently. And it was a barrel of raisins. They couldn't do anything with the raisins, and the story goes on to say how sadly they were defeated. Very often people are like that. They think that they've got something that secures them. They think that they've got a foundation. They think that they've got something that's worthwhile. But when it comes to it, they have nothing to offer whatsoever. Every Christian ought to understand and know that we have 4 anchors of our souls. Well, now let me try, if I can, to go through this story. We're not going to deal with all the story because it certainly has so very much in it. But the first thing I want you to notice in our verse is the fear that they exhibited. The fear that they exhibited. And fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks. You know, fear, of course, is a very strong emotion. It causes people to do all manner of things, and you'll know that people are unwell and very ill, simply and solely because fear. People are in the institutions of our land for this one reason, that they have fear. And we all have fears. There's not a man or a woman here tonight who hasn't got some sort of fear. You may think you're strong and tough, and you don't fear anything? Oh yes, you do. There are fears in each one of our lives. Think of the fear that old people have. Think of the fears that young people have. Think of the fears that all of us have. How did they have fears on this journey? Remember that there are seasoned sailors on this journey. Could they be fearful? Of course they could, if the storm is so great and enormous. And if the outcome of it can't be predicted, it certainly could be that they have fears, and it seems that they did. But what sort of fears did they have? I want to try to consider with you from the scriptures just what sort of fear they had. The first thing I suggest to you, they had a fear of darkness. If you go back in the chapter to verse 20 that we read, you'll read these words, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. That's quite a remarkable verse, isn't it? And what it really speaks about is what darkness brings, and the fear of darkness brings. You know, it seems to me that if you read through and study the verses, you will find that it was dark for 14 days. when neither the sun or the stars or the moon ever appeared. It was, as we often say, pitch darkness. And darkness brings fear. If you can't see properly in the dark, you fear what will be around the corner or what will actually take place. Darkness is for sleeping and light is for living. Last year we were in Alaska at a Bible conference there, and we were amazed at Alaska because we were there when it was light, and it never even got a little bit dark until at least 12 o'clock at night, and even then the twilight, and that's all it was never dark, but the twilight only lasted about 3 hours, and at 3 o'clock it was bright sunshine once again. But they tell me that in the winter time it's total darkness, so that 24 hours a day it will be dark all of the time. But of course that brings its own problems. Alaska has the highest rate of suicides in the whole of America, because people can't stand the darkness. It brings depression, and it also brings a sense of hopelessness as well. Did you notice what it said in the last part of that verse 20? And no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Look at that verse and think about it. All hope was taken away. You imagine what that really means. You know, I don't need to remind a congregation like this that this world is a dark place. The Lord Jesus Christ said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We heard in the prayer that darkness covered the earth and gross darkness the people. And we know that spiritually speaking, that is true. Peter was right when he said that this world is a dark place. Oh, we don't imagine that, do we? We don't think about that.